From the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus told his disciples a parable. Can a blind person guide a blind person? Will not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully qualified will be like their teacher. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, "Friend, let me take out the speck in your eye," when you yourself do not see the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit, for each tree is known by its own fruit. Figs are not gathered from thorns, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. Out of the good treasure of the heart, the good person produces good, and out of the evil treasure, the evil person produces evil. For it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
A newly married couple moved into their first home. And during breakfast one morning, the wife was looking out her kitchen window, and she saw her neighbor hanging out the laundry on the line outside. And after watching for a moment, she said to her husband, "Look, honey, our neighbor is hanging out dirty clothes on the line to dry. Something must be wrong with their washing machine." Well, the following week, the same thing happened again. And so she repeated her observations, saying her neighbors must really need a new washing machine because the clothes she's hanging out on the line this week are still obviously very dirty. But on the third week, she noticed a great change, and she said to her husband, "Look, our neighbor is hanging out their clothes on the line, but this time they're really clean. I guess they must have gotten a new washing machine." And her husband said, "No, honey, I don't think they did." And the wife said, "Well, what makes you say that? How can you account for the clean white clothes she's hanging out on the line today, when as for the last 2 weeks they were grubby and really dirty looking?" And the husband said, "Because I woke up this morning very early and I cleaned the kitchen window." It's a cute little story, but I think it illustrates exactly what Jesus means in the gospel today, where he says to the scribes and Pharisees, "First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will be able to see clearly." What he's saying here is that in order for us as human beings to assess situations properly, to make good choices, wise, prudent choices, in order to live lives pleasing to God, we need God's light and grace to shine in our hearts to show us the way. And sin in the heart acts as an obstacle. It acts like a log. It acts like dirt and mud on a window and can block some of God's light or all of his light from entering our hearts. Therefore, we need to regularly look into our hearts to see what's there. Are there any selfish, fearful, doubting, angry, impure attitudes or values or ways of thinking and acting that have crept into our hearts? And if so, we need to clean them. We need to take those logs out of our heart. We need to bring them to confession and be willing to make changes in our lives. So how can we do this? How can we truly look into our hearts and know what is really going on in the depth of our heart? Well, the saints say that there's three ways that we can do this. First, they say we should really listen to what other people tell us about ourselves. It's funny how it works, but often people close to us, they know our faults and failings better than we do. We're so close to ourselves that we sometimes can overlook the obvious Or we easily make excuses for ourselves, and it just covers over our faults, and we think it's no big deal. But other people can often see them much more clearly than we do. It's kind of like if I take a coin out of my pocket and hold it right here over my eye, I would not be able to tell whether it's a loonie, a toonie, American dollar, a French franc, or a German mark, or an Australian dollar, or a British pound. But if I approach someone in the front pew and ask them to take a look at it for me, they could tell me what it is because they have a different perspective, a more objective perspective. And so it is good practice to listen to what others say about us, because often there's a kernel of truth in what they're saying. If, however, we get offended, defend ourselves, justify ourselves, make excuses, the saints say that's a sign of pride. And then we miss the opportunity, a golden opportunity, to change and grow and become better people. However, if we do take an honest look at what other people say and try to discover if there's a kernel of truth in what they're saying, and if there is, to recognize it, accept it, be willing to make changes, then we're humble, and God will always bless the humble and have the humble grow. A really good example of this is in the life of St. Jean-Marie Vianney. He's the patron saint of parish priests, and he lived an extremely holy life. He was the pastor of a small parish in the village of Ars in France in the 1800s for over 40 years. Very small parish, kind of like maybe Chepstow. But he was so holy that the devil often attacked him physically to try to get him to leave the priesthood and leave the parish. And one day the devil said to him in frustration and anger, "If there were just three more priests like you, all of France would convert." And when Jean Vianney died, even though he was from that small, tiny parish, over 100,000 people came to his funeral. He had touched so many people. But in the beginning, when he arrived at Ars as a young priest, the people there did not like him. They soon took up a petition and tried to get as many people as he could to sign it, and then they wanted to send it to the bishop and ask the bishop to move him and send them a new priest. They complained that Jean Vianney was not very smart, that his homilies were bad, and they didn't connect with the people. Well, somehow, that petition ended up on his desk in the office, and he read it over. And do you know what he did? He signed it and then passed it on for other people to sign. It's a true story, because he knew that what they said was true. He really struggled hard in the seminary, and he accepted it. But he worked really hard to change, and he became an outstanding priest and a great saint. And so paying attention to what other people tell us and then seeing if there's a kernel of truth and being willing to accept it, this will help us know ourselves better and what is in our hearts, and can help us become better people. A second way we can discover what is in our hearts is to pay attention to how we react under pressure. When we're tired or stressed, or when we're hurt or suffering, how do we respond to people and situations? Do we respond with anger, impatience, fear, discouragement? Do we look for impure consolations to console ourselves and make ourselves feel better? How do we react under stress and pressure gives us a good idea of what is deep in our hearts and what needs to be purified and dealt with. You know, you can think of it this way. If we come across a plastic tube in our house, and somehow that plastic tube has lost its label, and we can't look inside it, and we don't know what's inside that plastic container, one way to find out is simply to squeeze it and see what comes out. Then we can know that, oh, this is a container of toothpaste, or it may be hair dye, or it may be mustard, or it could be a paint. And so we can come to know ourselves also better by paying attention to how we react under pressure. And finally, a third way to discover what is in our hearts is, the saints say, do a three-minute examination of conscience each night before going to bed. And the examination of conscience simply consists in three simple steps. First, to review our day and ask Jesus to help us to see the things we did right that day, the good things in our life, and to give thanks. Secondly, as we review our day, to ask Jesus to help us to see what we did wrong, how we were selfish, and then to apologize. And thirdly, to pick out one thing that we want to try to improve on for tomorrow and ask the Lord to help us. And so the saints tell us that a daily examination of conscience, which includes paying attention to what others tell us from time to time about ourselves, includes paying attention to how we react under pressure, that this practice will help us to really get to know ourselves and to know what is in our heart and what needs to change. And so if this practice is not yet part of your daily routine, I really encourage you to consider making that the penance that you would like to practice during this Lent. The saints tell us that true self-knowledge is a first and necessary step in growing in our relationship with God. It's also what's needed to make a good Lent. And it's also needed to make sure we don't fool ourselves, thinking we're on the right path that leads to heaven when really we've gotten sidetracked in some way and don't know it. You may have seen the book outside in the narthex called Struck by Lightning. It's a true story of Dr. Gloria Polo, who thought she was living a good life. She went to Mass, she gave to charity, she helped others through her profession. But one day she was actually struck by lightning. I think it was back in the 1990s or early 2000. And she had a near-death experience and found herself just about ready to be sucked into hell. And she couldn't understand it and kept yelling out, saying, "This is not fair. I'm a good Catholic. I'm a good Catholic. This is not fair." And when after she said that, everything she said just paused. And God began to show her what her life really was like. And she realized that she had been a Catholic merely out of habit and out of custom. She never really converted or gave her heart and life to Christ. She was not practicing her faith out of conviction and a deep relationship. It was merely habit. She had also committed many serious sins in her life, which she just glossed over and didn't pay attention to and justified. She did not make the time to honestly examine her heart, and therefore she did not realize how far she had fallen away from God. As a result, she never really converted and almost ended up in hell. But fortunately, the Lord gave her another chance at life. And so Lent is always another chance for you and for me. Lent is a time for change and growth and hope. And who knows, for some of us, it could very well be our last Lent before we're called to judgment. We don't know. So for those of us who may sometimes be inclined to put the decision to change off, to put off the decision to get serious about our spiritual life, maybe saying to ourselves, "Oh, I'm too busy right now," or "I'll wait till the kids grow up," or "I'll wait till I'm in better health," or "I'll wait till I'm older," or "I'll wait until this or that situation changes," these are all deceptions. Now is the time to work on our conversion, and now is the time really to practice a daily examination of conscience, to get to know ourselves better, our faults, our failings, our weaknesses, our strengths, and to develop a plan of life in order to change for the better. This beginning again in Christ is going to be blessed by extra graces and special graces that God extends to the church during the season of Lent. And so let us not miss our opportunity to really pray and work for a deeper conversion to Christ. The benefit that we receive right now is that hearts that are open to ongoing conversion are hearts that are young and youthful, even in old age. Because God, the saints tell us, is eternally young. He's the foundation of the fountain of youth, of life, joy, and he wants to share those blessings with hearts that seek a true and deep conversion to Christ.